Hachette Audio presents High Functioning, Overcome Your Hidden Depression and Reclaim Your Joy. Written by Dr. Judith Joseph, foreword by Mel Robbins. Read by me, the author. For Zara, my only child, and the reason that I want to make the world a better place.
Forward by Mel Robbins. Hey, it's Mel. And first, I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of you for hitting play on this audiobook. In it, you'll learn about groundbreaking research into one of the biggest things that busy, successful, high-functioning people like you struggle with. If you've ever found yourself feeling off, without being able to put your finger on why, or if you're constantly busy but you don't find yourself fulfilled, you are in the right place. This audiobook is the ultimate guide to creating more joy, fulfillment, purpose, and happiness. Dr. Judith Joseph knows exactly what you're going through because she's lived it. She's also spent years studying it. Her pioneering research into high-functioning depression, conducted in her Manhattan Behavioral Medicine Research Lab in New York City, finally gives a name to the exhaustion, numbness, and restlessness you feel when you keep it all together for everyone else while your own joy slowly fades away. Dr. Judith's insights have changed my life, and I know they will change yours too. As the host of the wildly successful Mel Robbins podcast, I have the honor of connecting with listeners in 194 countries. So I know how common it is to feel like you're not reaching your potential and you want more in life. I want that for you too. I also have the unique experience of meeting experts at the top of their fields and learning from them every single week. Dr. Judith Joseph is so good that I have invited her back on the podcast, not just twice, but 3 times, because her incredible research-backed insights and tools truly change lives. And what I love most about Dr. Judith isn't her expertise or groundbreaking research. It's her ability to make you feel seen and understood. In one of her appearances on the Mel Robbins podcast, she explained that happiness isn't a grand destination. It's a series of small moments, points of joy, as she calls them. It's the text you send a friend when you're feeling a little lonely, the rest you give yourself when you're tired, the connection you seek when you need to feel supported. This simple yet profound concept struck me, and I hope it will make you pause too. How often do you rush past those small points of joy because you're so busy jumping right to the next thing? And how often do you ignore what you're really feeling because you think you don't have the time to feel it? For a long time, I was addicted to busyness until I truly faced the impact the constant motion had on my life. And Dr. Judith was a core part of my journey to change. If any of this resonates with you, you're about to feel something extraordinary as you listen to this book. Relief. Relief in understanding why you've been feeling the way you do, and relief in knowing you're not alone. Most important, you're about to learn that no matter how far away joy feels right now, it's not gone. It's waiting for you. See, this isn't just an audiobook. It's a roadmap back to yourself. And I can't wait for you to listen to it and experience all of Dr. Judith's research, insights, and tools.
Introduction. Judith, is everything all right? My associate asked nervously. She had knocked on the door to my office and popped her head in to check on me. Her eyes were squinting at me above her N95 mask. She was looking at me in that way, you know, where you can tell the person is concerned about you. Her instincts were right. She should have been worried about me. I was worried about me too. But I nodded confidently to her that I was fine. That wasn't true. It was April 2020 in New York City, and these were dark days at the beginning of the pandemic. Days when you could walk through Times Square, one of the most bustling intersections on the planet, on your way to work and see only 2 or 3 other people. When storefronts on the world-famous Fifth Avenue were about to start boarding up their windows because owners feared them being smashed by protesters, it seemed like a movie now. Except it was real, we all lived it. And by the way, we're still coping with the trauma from it. Even though we were all in survival mode, I had to admit that many things in my work life were going extremely well. Mine was the only doctor's office in my building that hadn't been shut down due to the pandemic, because my lab was working on important studies that the FDA wanted to move forward with. My media career had taken off because everyone wanted to talk about emotional well-being during the pandemic. I was at the point of turning down appearances. I had more patients than ever before because the country was in the midst of a mental health crisis and healthcare professionals needed all hands on deck. Not to mention, I had just been invited to be one of five people joining an elite group of women in medicine at Columbia University. But with all of those accomplishments came a tidal wave of overwhelm. There was a day-in, day-out pressure that came with work. There was a perpetual responsibility to show up for everyone in my life. If you're reading this book, I know you can relate. Just like me, you're likely the person in your family or circle whom everyone looks to as the strong one, even if you're pouring out energy from a nearly empty cup. Back then, I never just got to be Judith. At any given moment in time, I was a boss whose employees were counting on her for a steady paycheck to survive this economic crisis. I was Dr. Joseph with clinical trial participants who were terrified of this new disease and patients who needed help with new coping mechanisms. I was a mom and wife whose family was falling apart under enormous pressure. Every day I had to push through the stress, and I worried that boss, researcher, doctor, wife, mother, Judith, was failing them all. Sound familiar? That April, my associate and I were scheduled to give a joint Zoom presentation, from separate offices, of course, to 200 healthcare practitioners and their families at a major healthcare system. The night before, I was working on my PowerPoint for the presentation called Coping with the New Norm. With the clock ticking closer to 8 p.m., my stomach started to rumble and my eyes getting heavy, I recognized the irony. I was highly aware that coping was something I was barely doing. In fact, while I was organizing my slides, I pulled my hands away from my keyboard, looked away from the screen, and said aloud to myself in an empty office, "I think I'm depressed." I'm a psychiatrist, and even I was caught off guard by the self-diagnosis. The next day wasn't any better. If you didn't know me, you would have assumed everything was fine during my part of the Zoom presentation. You wouldn't have noticed the flutter in my voice or my hurried breathing while talking about emotional trauma. You wouldn't have caught how my eyes darted around my office in an effort to hold back the tears that were welling. I was supposed to be focused on healing the people on the call, but I realized that I needed healing myself. Most of the faces on my Zoom screen belonged to overwhelmed healthcare workers, many of whom were scribbling notes or dropping fares into the chat. The other nurse on my shift has been drinking a lot after work, or my coworker is constantly breaking down in tears. But one of my associates left her computer and came over to my office to check on me while I was off camera. She could see I was teetering on the edge of my emotions and about to topple over. That's when she asked, "Is everything all right?" Until that presentation, I hadn't realized that I was depressed because I didn't check all the boxes for depression. I could still get out of bed in the morning. I wasn't bursting into tears on the subway. And even if you do, New Yorkers will politely ignore you. I still organized my daughter's birthday parties and brought in bagels for morning meetings at work. And remember, I was not only showing up for work, I was killing it at work. But I felt an inner restlessness, a need to stay busy. I was sure that if I slowed down, something bad would happen. I couldn't quite put my finger on what this feeling was. Unlike most people with depression, I was functioning. More than that, I was high functioning. What the heck was going on? Starting to unmask high-functioning depression. After that moment in April 2020, I went on a search to understand what was happening to me, and it led me straight to high-functioning depression, HFD. I didn't find what I was looking for in scientific journals, because medical literature is usually miles behind what people in the world are actually experiencing. You don't see high-functioning depression in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition, DSM-5, the most recent edition of the book that psychiatrists live by for diagnosing conditions. HFD isn't officially recognized, and there hasn't been a definition for it until now.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?